What's going on? It's Wednesday, December 11th. I'm Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. And here we are, baby. It's Fantasy Football Playoffs. You ready? Because I am. I was born ready. I was made for this. Insert any other cliche you want. No, but seriously, I'm ready to roll. Rankings are up on the site. The initial set is out. I want to run through some of the latest news. There are a lot of moving pieces this week, so we'll try and get you as much up to speed as we can and tie that in with the updated rankings. Of course, they are over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. You can sign up now, and honestly, and yeah, the season's basically over. We have 3 weeks left of the fantasy football season, but it never ends. You know that. I know it. I mean, yeah, maybe it did in like 2003 when people would just stop paying attention to football until July. But come on, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably pay attention to football year round. And really, once we get to January, not only do we have postseason fantasy football leagues, but we have Dynasty. We have all kinds of Dynasty strategy articles that are coming out. We have, obviously, the Dynasty Startup Rankings, all the rookie content. Then we're into best ball season. I mean, it just never ends. So if you sign up now, you get it through the end of December. It's also a good time to sign up for the baseball product. If you play fantasy baseball, ours is the best. And I'm not joking. I know it sounds like I just have to say that. No, I'm not. It's incredible. Nobody can match what we're doing right now. For the money, there's nothing better than it. So head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Okay, so I'm going to roll through the latest news and try and give you some context here. We'll start in Buffalo, where Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid are both practicing. Both should be back on the field this week since they're both practicing in full. That should be a big-time shootout, 53.5 over-under against the Lions. The challenge is I don't know how usable either guy is. Like with Coleman, the future is bright. Don't get me wrong, but the present is Khalil Shakir and Amari Cooper. And Cooper, they finally took the training wheels off of him last week and fed him double-digit targets. So I don't think there's that much of appeal. Maybe there's DFS appeal. Of course, anybody could be appealing in DFS, but I don't think there's any season-long appeal to him. Now, as far as Kincaid, I do feel bad for a lot of folks who hung on to him entirely too long. It became very apparent as we got into about a month into the season that Kincaid was not a, and I guess we could call him an anchor tight end, whatever you, I've been calling him elite, but I guess I have to figure out a new way to phrase it so that people realize, oh, this dude I can't drop, but these other guys I can. And I thought I made it clear to a lot of people that he was a streamer, but you know, I can only reach so many people. And even then, some of those people thought I was full of crap, I'm sure, but he was just a streamer. And he's still just a streamer, and yet people wasted a roster spot on him. And I realized, hey, coming into fantasy draft season, he was a potential breakout guy. The breakout didn't happen. Didn't happen this year. Doesn't mean it won't happen in the future. Doesn't mean he's destined to be like Kyle Pitts or something like that. But this year, it didn't happen. And that's okay. He had some decent games. But then once he got hurt, you can move on from him. And now I don't have him as a top 12 guy. I did anticipate him coming back. I have him outside of the top 12 currently in rankings, and I don't think that changes. Right now, he's at 14. Now, chances are you're not going to have many guys ahead of him. The only guy who might be available ahead of him was Hunter Henry, and now he's widely picked up after last night as well. But I don't know. I just don't love it. You know, hopefully you got to this point and you don't need a streamer in the first week of the fantasy football playoffs. All right, moving on to the next player on the list here, Alexander Mattison. So we know Zamir White went to injured reserve. Antonio Pierce said Alexander Mattison is probably going to be active. However, he made it abundantly clear that their top running back is Sincere McCormick. If you picked up Sincere McCormick last week, that's awesome because, well, he was dirt cheap, right? He was a freebie, free bingo space last week. Well, this week he wasn't free. In fact, he was one of the top ads of the week. And, you know, this is just a prime example of proactive versus reactive. We saw something potentially happening with Sincere McCormick. We proactively pick him up. You're not always going to be right when you're proactive. You certainly could be wrong when you're proactive. But the beauty to that is if I'm wrong when I'm proactive, I picked up a guy for nothing. I spent a dollar on him in fab or, you know, just picked him up as a free agent or, you know, whatever on waivers. And I'm wrong. The value cost isn't that big. Now, if I went out and spent $20 out of my $100 fab budget, 20% on him, or I used my precious waiver priority on him, and I'm wrong, the value cost is obviously much more significant. So, and especially in the fab league. So being proactive, it really is the way to go. It's something that I'm going to, you know, continue to say until I'm done in this industry. Proactive over reactive. Now, he's the lead back. There's no concern here about Alexander Mattison. I mean, I guess the only concern is if for some reason McCormick goes out and is not good. But the way that he has played recently, I don't really have any concerns about that. I have him currently at RB27, though there are a lot of moving pieces at running back this week. So that's a tentative, but the good news is he's a priority flex play who you might even be able to use as an RB2. So great news if you have Sincere McCormick. All right, a question I got before I hit record, actually, in the FTN Discord. The Packers designated Luke Musgrave to return from injured reserve. He's been on IR for about 2 months. He had an ankle injury that landed him there. And the question was, what happens to Tucker Kraft? Now, I do think that's putting the cart in front of the horse, because quite often what we've observed with IR designated to return guys is that first week is usually a throwaway week. They go, they get him out there, they get him limited, they go limited through the entire week, they don't get activated. So I wouldn't necessarily put the cart in front of the horse. If you have Tucker Kraft right now, I have him as a top 10 play. He, you know, at tight end, it's a tricky position, of course, as always, and he is 9 right now, gives you touchdown upside. Now, I don't think that touchdown upside goes away when Musgrave comes back. And, you know, initially I thought Musgrave was going to be the better option of the two, both short and long term, but that looks like it could be wrong. Tucker Kraft's way better than I thought from his athleticism. Just that alone really, really has impressed me. I thought he was going to be more of a catch and fall down, you know, an inline tight end, you know, get some looks up the seam, and that's kind of about it, whereas Musgrave would be the more dynamic guy. Kraft's a little bit more dynamic than I had thought. So I wouldn't be overly concerned with that one. The Giants are going to have to start Tommy DeVito. So Drew Lock is in a walking boot. He's not going to play this week. He may not play next week. Who knows? But yeah, Ravens defense, they were available in one of the leagues I'm in. I went out and picked them up. I was really surprised by that. Now, granted, I'm only competing against 3 other teams for team defenses because, you know, honestly, if I have a bye, and this is a question I keep getting, would you pick up a defense for next week? No, I'm going to pick up a defense for next week. Because first and foremost, so much changes between now and next week. This point last week, I would not have wanted Washington as a streamer. Now, I want Washington as a streamer because Derek Carr got hurt. That injury completely changed the landscape, made Washington a streamer option. And if I had picked a defense up the week before, guess what? I'm just dropping them. So I don't even worry about the wasted roster move. I'm just going to wait until next week. Like, there's no reason to do it now. I know people want to do it now because you have a bye and you're so used to doing things, but maybe just sit back and enjoy the bye. You know, obviously, if there are holes in your roster, work waivers for them. But there's no need to do that to pick up a defense the week before you need the defense, because things could change. They could change fairly dramatically, you know. And Drew Lock to Tommy DeVito maybe isn't that dramatic because they were going to be a good play regardless, the Ravens, but really loving the Ravens against Tommy DeVito. Let me talk about Belichick. So it does seem like this is real, and this is wild. If you haven't been paying attention at all, Bill Belichick, the thought process was Belichick was likely going to go back to the NFL. He was going to try and chase Don Shula's record. In a perfect world, he gets that record in 2 seasons. Now, the NFL isn't perfect. And if he goes back to the NFL and he doesn't have success, like say Belichick goes out there and has like a 2-win season, a 3-win season, that's going to tarnish the legacy, right? So there's that working against him. There also may be an undercurrent of the NFL and today's NFL 2024 going into 2025 isn't interested in Bill Belichick. You know, he had his run and it's over. Maybe they're not interested in that anymore. you know, you look at today's coaches and they're very different from a Belichick style coach. Some of them still have that commonality, but you know, you think of like some of the most successful, either they're sort of one of two guys right now who are the most successful. They're the leader of men type who instill the culture. Dan Campbell, you know, John Harbaugh, maybe Jim Harbaugh as well. You can throw Mike Tomlin in there. Tomlin's a little bit more of a hard ass, but still he fits that bill. And, you know, or you have like the football genius, the football savants out there, McVay, Shanahan, and so on. Belichick is different. Like, he's definitely a football savant, but he is an old school throwback head coach. Maybe they're not interested in that. I don't know. You know, just tossing this out there. But for him to go to North Carolina, 24/7 Sports saying they are finalizing a deal. So he would go there. And this would be essentially wild. I mean, Mac Brown was there previously, rough season. And you have a guy who hasn't coached at the college level. I mean, extensive experience, obviously, but no experience at the college level whatsoever. And now stepping into this job. And, you know, basically this is a done deal. Like, he's going there. This is going to be wild, especially now in an NIL transfer portal era. Now, he went on McAfee and he talked about essentially building a program that prepares these guys to be in the NFL. And that doesn't just mean from a here's a pro style offense standpoint, right? It's more than that, preparing them to become professionals in the NFL. Or, you know, and he also mentioned, you know, obviously not everybody's going to make it to the NFL, but preparing them for life afterwards. Okay, well, that's great. He's going to need a lot of help on the recruiting front, the NIL front, the portal front. It's going to be fascinating to see. It really is going to be fascinating to see, but this is happening and not what I had expected. But honestly, if this dude goes out and makes this program big, wow, that would be something else. So we can take his name out of the pool of potential candidates. I mean, as of right now, Mike Vrabel seems to be the hottest name. If you're going for one of those sort of new school leader of men, players coach, culture type of guys, like, he would be that guy. New Orleans. Wasn't sure if it was going to be Spencer Rattler or Jake Haener. As of right now, Jeremy Fowler saying it's going to be Jake Haener. So we'll see what ends up happening on that front. I don't think there's really much one way or the other. It unfortunately really hurts the overall outlook for basically everybody involved. I have Alvin Kamara at 13. You know, I would love to have him higher, but I can't do that right now. You know, and this is a tremendous season from him, but I just don't have confidence that they're going to be able to, you know, really move the football. That's the big challenge here. David Njoku popped up on the practice report for today. Didn't practice today, but remember, it's only Wednesday, so don't freak out there. Should have Josh Downs back. I think Downs maybe flex worthy. I don't want to use Michael Pittman Jr. if I can get away with it. It's just too much of a mess this week with Anthony Richardson being so up and down. We're keeping an eye on Breece Hall. We're keeping an eye on Bucky Irving. We're keeping an eye on Isaac Arendo. Obviously, I'll have more updates on those guys for tomorrow on the Rant podcast, but at least we did get Breece. He's struggling, according to Jeff Ulbrich. And, you know, when I hear that, I am already prepared for him to not play. If I had to choose one, it would be Braylon Allen, but it is super close between him and Isaiah Davis. It's really just because the Jets should, in theory, have a lead. They play from the lead. It'll be more Braylon Allen in that game this week. All right, I think those are the big things on my list. So, again, tomorrow's podcast, I do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday on the Rant podcast. So if you aren't subscribing to that, go check that out. It is The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. And otherwise, you'll get Mike Randall back on this feed for you on Sunday night. You get it first thing Monday morning. If you're not listening on Sunday night, you get the biggest takeaways of the week. And then we head on into the next one. Don't panic. Don't do anything crazy. Trust the process. Stick to the process. Don't worry about what your projected box score says. Put the lineup in place. that it gives you the highest chance of scoring the most points. That's it. You can't play defense against your opponent. Doesn't matter who they're starting. All that matters is the guys who have the highest chance of scoring the most points for you. That's what we got to do. And then the rest is out of our hands. All right. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com. Go check it out. Of course, you can follow me on social media on Twitter/X. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. On Instagram, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. And guess what? On Blue Sky, I'm also at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right. I will catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.